Hi, I'm Jody. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from guilt and shame. My parents divorced when I was one, and by five, I had a new stepdad. I was a rambunctious kid, even a little on the mischievous side, but I was a mama's girl and always wanted to impress her. I needed her attention, learning at an early age what I had to do to get it. Unfortunately, I felt I was in competition with my stepdad for her love. I was a determined child and did my best to follow the rules. Not wanting to ruffle any feathers or rock the boat at home, we had this new dad and I wasn't going to be the one to chase him away. As a family, we attended church every Sunday, but unfortunately, God was never discussed or even mentioned during the week. Occasionally, I attended Sunday school, but felt alone, shy, and quite different. Attending church felt more like going somewhere to learn right from wrong. People attended to get good morals and values. I went through confirmation, learning the story of Jesus, that he died for the sins of the world, and that he was our creator. I always had this vision of God, that he was this infinite spirit in the sky that was too busy holding up the planets and universes to have anything to do with me. I didn't understand God's love or that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus, nor did I understand that I could have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. At the age of 7, I was touched inappropriately by a family member. The moment it happened, I knew it was wrong. I felt afraid, I felt sad and confused. When I exposed the abuse the next day, there was no love or sympathy met. That was the first time I knew shame. At that point, I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. Not knowing what had happened, I remember the voices in my head saying, "You shouldn't have said anything. If you had not been laying there, it wouldn't have happened. It's all your fault. And anyway, maybe he didn't mean to touch you." Rather, it was briefly discussed and swept under the rug like much of the rest of our lives. Everything was conveniently ignored, yet we were always to be on our best behavior. After the incident, I felt pressure to be the good kid. I had done enough to this family. The abuse was not mentioned again until I was 12. I confided in a counselor explaining the abusive incident. In response, they removed me from my home, forced me to live with my biological father, with whom I had no relationship whatsoever. Again, here was the guilt and shame associated with my family. I wanted so badly to stay home with my mom. I wanted things to return the way they were before. If only the abuse had never happened. Why did I say anything? I hated myself. I was now forced to start over with a new family I did not know in a town I didn't know. Again, I found myself anxious, scared, and alone. I had learned a lesson to be sure. I was going to keep my mouth shut from now on. Living with my dad felt like a prison. After a year, I was finally able to come home. I was released. Unfortunately, my mom didn't know what to do with me, and I didn't know what to do with myself. Yet just the same, I was back home where I longed to be. As it turned out, I was confused, and there were no rules. I could come and go as I pleased. So I started to hang out with older kids that were experimenting with drugs, cigarettes, and alcohol. I began down a road that led me to abusive drugs, drinking, and sex. I had finally found people that would accept me. This continued for several years through high school. While I lived in total rebellion during the weekends, I became known as the trouble kid, finding trouble at home and at school. As such, drugs and alcohol became my best friend. They never left me and made me feel good. They quieted the voices in my head that came from the guilt and shame linked to my abuse. In some ways, they took me back to the fun-loving Jody I used to be before the abuse. I was jumping from one relationship to another, seeking love and approval, caring too much about what other people thought of me. Living life as a party was modeled for me as I grew up. So I did my best and became a rock star. I dressed the part on the weekends, going to clubs and spending money on my credit cards I didn't have, living well beyond my means. Outside, everything looked great, but on the inside, I was spiraling out of control, including promiscuity, addiction, and ultimately abortion. I came to the end of myself and hit rock bottom. Depressed and anxious, I couldn't get through the day without contemplating suicide. As the cycle of guilt and shame haunted me, I was paralyzed, unable to move or break away from the shackles of what my life had become. I wanted to die. Having no purpose in life, I was in a cycle of working, drinking, and sleeping off hangovers. I was dead on the inside, desperately needing help. On the morning of April 8th, 2014, with the weight of the world on my shoulders, I had finally exhausted myself. I made the decision to get sober. In fear, I reached out to my therapist for help. She wanted me to check into rehab, which I thought was a good plan. I woke up the next day feeling confused about the decision. So I got on my knees that day and cried out to a God that I did not know, but I knew had all the answers. And I surrendered my life to him. I had had enough. And from that moment on, he has kept me sober. Praise God. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. From that point on, I decided I had abused my body and my mind enough and surrendered my entire life to knowing Jesus. I decided not to check myself into rehab, but started a 12-step recovery program. I reached out to a friend for help. She asked me to get on my knees every morning and ask God for the willingness to stay sober for 24 hours, and every night to thank him for keeping me sober. I did what I was told, not knowing who I was talking to, but this was just the beginning of my faith journey. After having 3 months of sobriety, I decided to start going to church to discover who this God was that I had given my life to. I was asked a great question by a dear friend of mine. If there was a rapture today, would you go to heaven? Frantic, I said, I don't know. I reached out to a staff person at Watermark who shared the gospel with me. I heard about the great love with which God loved us through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I had never heard or felt this kind of love before. I heard about a ministry at Watermark called Regeneration, so I decided to go. The first night I sat alone, open and willing, thinking to myself, this is exactly where I belong. These are my people, and I jumped in headfirst. In step one, I related to the story of Adam and Eve and how they hid from God when they sinned, sewing fig leaves together, covering their nakedness. I had been using alcohol, materialism, and people-pleasing to hide from God. This opened my eyes to the root of all my bitterness. In step five, I learned that by confessing my sin, I was agreeing with God about my sin. In step eight, I learned about God's justice and his forgiveness of sin. Also that the process of how to forgive and how he has called us to be peacemakers. By walking through the doors that Jesus has opened to me, I now have the tools of the 12 steps that has taught me how to deal with life on life's terms and have an intimate relationship with Jesus. This is his world. I am his creation. This is the life he has chosen for me. He created me in every detail of the way I look and the way I act. This is his story, and I am a new creation in it. I'm so thankful for his mercies and kindness. He wants good for me. He saved me, and he loves me. I pray today that we can all bask in this truth. My name is Jody, and I am a new creation in Christ, recovering from guilt and shame. To him be all the glory.